Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
If you step into a class of 30 high school students and look around, five of them have been victims of electronic bullying in the past year. My guest is Dr. Andrew Adisman. He's a pediatrician and chief of developmental behavioral pediatrics at the Stephen Alexandra Cone Children's Medical Center of New York. Welcome to the show, Dr. Adisman. Let's talk about cyberbullying, e-bullying. What's going on out there?
Well, as probably any parent knows, kids are glued to their cell phones, and cell phones are wonderful in many regards. But as with all technology, they can have potentially a dark side. And cyberbullying or e-bullying refers to when kids or others are using their devices to in some way, you know, harm somebody. And we're not talking about physical harm, but we can talk about spreading misinformation, spreading negative information, passing on information about somebody to third parties with the intent of either embarrassing them and otherwise hurting them. And, you know, we've always had bullies. There's been, you know, increased social awareness about bullying as a problem in the schoolyard. What smartphones, phones that have texting features, and kids love texting, what basically it's allowing is for this bullying to become 24/7. It's allowing it to become more pandemic in the sense that, you know, things can go viral, so to speak. It's so easy to forward messages, and in some cases it can become also more anonymous. And so I think that the stakes are higher, and kids can become traumatized by this.
Well, it's certainly, they're very vulnerable. We always hear about the horrific, you know, suicides, things like that, that have come from children whose maybe naked picture gets sent around or something that they did gets talked about and they're horrified and embarrassed. What do we, okay, so let's look at it from two places, Dr. Adisman. First, if your child is being bullied, how can you find out? Because maybe your child's too embarrassed to tell you. And what if your child is the bully? And how do you find that out?
Well, I think that I don't know the breakdown on bullies, bullying individuals versus bullying victims. My guess is that the victims outnumber the number of bullies out there. I think that parents, you know, when kids are given a cell phone, there need to be a clear discussion about the do's and don'ts of cell phones. And just as you wouldn't want, say, a teen driver texting while driving, we also wouldn't want anybody getting involved with, you know, cyberbullying. In, for example, you know, the more extreme instance with sexting, where there's an inappropriate picture being sent around, in some states they're not very child friendly, and so you end up potentially involving, you know, sex abuse laws and carrying a stigma if one's caught and convicted of distributing pornographic material of minors. And so although, you know, somebody may think of it as innocent fun or just forwarding an image, the reality is that the legal distinctions aren't necessarily there as it relates to kids under the age of 18. But that's the extreme instance, and I think that we need to be just more mindful of more everyday instances that can be harmful, even if they're not extreme in terms of sexting or in terms of suicide. I think there are things that kids need to know. I think, you know, kids are getting cell phones at a younger and younger age, and so parents need to caution their kids about giving out personal information. They want to tell them not to give out their passwords, for example, to friends, because if somebody's password gets out there, then other people can assume that individual's identity, and then you lose control. If a child is the victim of getting a mean or threatening message, the best thing that the child can do is not to respond, but to instead save it or print it out and show it to an adult, show it to a parent. And then therefore they can keep evidence of cyberbullying. They should record the dates, the times, the descriptions, when this has happened, and if they can, they can, you know, save screenshots. But the bottom line is gather evidence. Think of it as a form of abuse. And it may not be criminally punishable, but certainly this can then be either blocked or if parents can pursue it and bring it to cell phone carriers. And
now, this is very important. Okay, Dr. Adisman, what you said about recording, keeping track of times and dates, you know, maybe to even taking a screenshot of it, you know, kind of doing your own investigative work, making sure you keep records. And that's important to let our children know, if this happens to you, I want to know about it. But what if they don't? I mean, is there any signs of because there's signs of regular bullying if your child's withdrawn a little bit, if they're not, you know, engaging in activities the same. Is there any sign of this cyberbullying? Or as parents, are we supposed to be snooping into their email, looking at their cell phones, and finding out for ourselves?
Well, I think the question of trust and snooping is maybe a hard sell, and I'm going to come back to that in a second. I think in terms of signs, you know, certainly parents may want to speak to their teens about this. And if the media, if a story comes up in the media, whether it be an instance of suicide or an instance of there've been other criminal acts involving other forms of bullying, I think those can present opportunities for parents to more naturally bring this up as a subject. Certainly, they don't have to wait for a news event. If they see a change in terms of this child's mood, if they see the student being withdrawn, if they see a change in social activities, even if they see perhaps that their child is texting much less, you know, maybe those might be soft signs that in some way, shape, or form they're a victim of bullying. There are individuals who say that, you know, parents should ask for passwords or access to be friended on Facebook and things like that. I think many kids won't be happy about it. Kids aren't going to want to give their parents access, but parents can also tell them it would only be in cases of emergency. So I think that those kinds of privacy issues can be raised and potentially broached or so to speak, shared. But I think that parents need to respect their teens' privacy on the one hand, but on the other hand, you know, I think something I've said for many years is that parents have three jobs, and one of the jobs, the first job, number one, is keeping their kids safe, number two is healthy, number three is happy. When I told my own kids about the happy part, they were thrilled, and what I clarified for them is that it's a hierarchy, and so the first and most important job is safe, second is healthy, third is happy, and so happy takes the back seat to mental health and physical health. What parents need to do is ensure the physical, mental, and emotional health of their children, and being mindful and proactive as it relates to the possibility of cyberbullying is one way in which we can try to ensure healthy kids.
Okay, so our children, we speak to them. And again, you can even maybe have them sign a pledge that they will not engage in any teasing cyber-wise, any e-teasing, even if they think it's innocent and, oh, you know, you suck at school or something. That's a form of, you know, verbal abuse in that way. So we can have them sign a pledge. Dr. Adisman, in just this last minute, wrap up the cyberbullying for us, how rampant it is, and what parents really need to do to stop it.
Well, we don't have perfect solutions. I don't think there are apps the way we have it for, let's say, texting while driving. But, you know, bottom line is the cyberbullying, the statistics are out there. Recent data saying it's approximately 1 in 6 cases. That, you know, we have kids who are being bullied as well as other kids who are bullying. Parents need to have this discussion. They certainly, if kids are being bullied, they should share this information with their parents. And one of the things parents can do is reassure their child, their teenage child, that they're not going to take away their phone. Because one of the reasons that teenagers don't share this information is that they're afraid they're going to lose access to their phones. And that's their lifeline, given, you know, current social norms among teens. So I think that, you know, having a discussion, providing reassurance, but also expressing care and making sure that they don't engage either passively or actively in cyberbullying are things that parents need to do.
Really great advice. Thank you so much, Dr. Andrew Adisman. This is Melanie Cole, and you're listening to Healthy Children, where our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. And remember, you can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD, and listen anytime on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com, because it really is all about the health of our children. Therein lies the name of the show, Healthy Children, in conjunction with their consumer website, HealthyChildren.org. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.